And when you live long enough, you'll get all kinds of threads. You'll get some dark ones and you'll get some light ones, and you'll get all shades and all hues. Amen. Because God is finishing something beautiful in life. The psalmist said, Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I believe the reason David said renew is because he knew what it was like to have a right spirit. He knew what it was like to have a right attitude. But he allowed himself to go off track and take a very serious detour in his life. It was very costly. But at the end of it, when the Word of God awakened him, he could say once again, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And then he goes on to say in the 17th verse, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. One that is pliable in the hands of God. You know, if you allow clay to get too hard, you can't work with it. It becomes brittle. And you can no longer fashion it, form it. But if we can stay pliable in the hands of God and keep our spirit where God can work with it, then that's what David's talking about. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. I want to talk about choosing the right attitude. Choosing the right attitude. There's a... the word attitude is an interesting word. First of all, it's not in the Bible. So if you look in your concordance, and I did, for the word attitude, you won't find it. It's an English word, and it was not used to translate any of the Bible. But there are parallels in the Bible that we can use. As for instance, the Beatitudes really are attitudes. I said the Beatitudes really are right attitudes. Let's read them, shall we? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That sounds like humility. That's an attitude.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, mourning is a healthy thing if it's done right. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's an attitude. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness is an attitude. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Mercy and the desire to be merciful is an attitude. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. These are attitudes, and the way attitudes are formed. Everybody's got an attitude. You may be seated. My brother-in-law worked at NASA through the Gemini and the Apollo projects. And I thought it was interesting how you guide a rocket or a capsule. You know, they don't have a steering wheel. You're way out in space, and you know what guides you out there? They call them attitudinal rockets. All around that capsule are little rockets that can be fired for different periods of time, and that's what corrects your attitude. Your direction, your attitude is corrected by firing a certain rocket in a certain place. The thrust will either turn you right or left, or whichever way you need to go. And so attitude is very important. And as we go through life firing our little attitudes, that's what keeps us on track or throws us off. You see, if you fire the wrong attitudinal rocket, it'll throw you off course. Or if you fire it too long or too short, it'll mess up your trajectory. So it's important that you keep it right. And it's got to be done just right. One of the greatest challenges of life is maintaining a right attitude. Everybody say maintain. Now, you'll have a right attitude some days, and then other days, maybe not. So it's a challenge to maintain the right attitude in life. And it's not easy to do. But when we choose the right attitude, then it changes our life for the better. Always. Always. So if I choose purpose over aimlessness, then I have a fulfilled life. If I choose perseverance over defeat, I'll have victory. If I choose faith over worry, I'll triumph. If I choose repentance over guilt, then my guilt is relieved. If I choose relaxation over stress, oh, there's one. Maybe I won't have a heart attack or stroke. Amen. If I choose contentment over comparison, just being satisfied, not trying to compare myself with everybody else. Amen. Brother Washer had it so right tonight. Amen. It's not important. Somebody drives a better car than you do or wears better clothes, so what? God bless them. Fine. Wonderful. Amen. I hope they're giving the missions like they ought to and supporting the kingdom like they ought to. And if they are, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Go for it. I'm all for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But just keep it all in perspective, right? I choose forgiveness over bitterness so I can live in peace. Choose productivity over laziness. What if you choose humility over pride? It's a choice, isn't it? I choose humility over pride. I choose companionship over loneliness. Amen. I've heard it, and I mentioned it the other day, that some people sit around being lonely. Well, just go out and visit somebody. Call somebody. Don't just sit around and be lonely. Amen. It's a choice, isn't it? But it's a choice. Amen. You might find somebody that's lonely too, just looking for somebody. Well, Brother Grissom, I don't know anybody. Well, go to a nursing home. I guarantee you'll find somebody that wants to be visited there. Amen. Those are folks that are looking for somebody just to come by and share a smile and a handshake. Amen. Praise God. And I choose relationships over isolation. Amen. That's how you get lonely. And so attitudes then are so very, very important in life. Amen. Everybody chooses an attitude. There's something in our present culture that really disturbs me. And we see it on T-shirts all the time. Little comments about attitude. And children have attitude and parents thinking that's cute. But it won't be cute in a little while. That's where you got to deal with it right there. Don't you let it go. Chuck Swindoll and his program, Insight for Living, made a tremendous statement. He said, deal with attitudes just as strongly as you do with actions. Wrong attitudes, deal with them just as strongly as you do wrong actions. We don't let our children get away with doing things that are wrong. Let's not let them get away with having a wrong attitude. Amen. That's right. Because, you know, you're born, and the minute you're born, you start dealing with attitude. You think babies don't have attitude? You haven't been around one lately. Yeah, they got attitude. Amen. Now I know when they're real little, you just got to put up with some stuff. But after a while, you got to start correcting some of that. I think it was James Dobson that said, if babies had the strength of adults, humanity would be annihilated. Because, boy, they get mad. Flopping those little old arms and kicking their legs and their face is red and their eyes are closed and the whole world stinks and they hate everybody. Don't care if you're trying to sleep. Don't care if you haven't slept in 2 days. Makes no difference. I'm mad and I want you to know it. Attitude. Boy, they've got it. Amen. Then as you grow, you start. Some people don't grow out of that very much. But ideally, as you, we call it mature, you get further away from that kind of thing. Amen. And so attitudes are important. We choose our attitude. Yes, we do. I have a couple of farmers, and if you've ever been around many farmers, they're interesting people. One farmer said, "Boy, isn't this a wonderful sunny day?" He said, "If it ever gets any hotter, I'm afraid it's going to dry up all the crops." Saw him a couple of days later and it was raining. He said, "Thank God for this rain." He said, "Well, I hope it don't flood." Everything he said, he was negative. So he said, "Buddy," he said, "I've got the best coon dog in the country." He said, "Let's go hunting tomorrow." So he went hunting with his friend and they were hunting and they got a coon that fell in the water. And you know that dog trotted out there. He didn't even swim. He walked on the water. And he turned around and looked at his pessimistic friends and said, "What do you think of that?" He said, "Can't swim, can he?" Some people just got an attitude. You'll never please them. They just got attitude. Amen. So you got to learn to choose attitude. Amen. You know, negativity is not a good thing. It's not a good way to live. I understand. Life can almost force you into that, but you have to fight against it and push back, amen, so that you don't fall into that trap. Attitudes are influenced by our input. Certain things that are around us are things that they input into us and try to control our attitude, but we have to be careful. You have to be careful what you read. Yes, you do. You can read things that'll make you negative. You can read things that'll make you carnal. You can read things that'll just it, everything influences you one way or the other. So you be careful what you read. You be careful what you see. You be careful what you listen to. Be especially careful what you listen to. Seems like I read somewhere it said, "Faith cometh by what? By hearing." So if faith comes by hearing, so does doubt. Amen. And it depends on who you listen to. Amen. You can only listen to so much doubt and so much discouragement and so much negativity. It affects your spirit. You need to listen to some positive things. You need to listen to some good things. You need to listen to some godly things. Amen. Right. Praise God. So you have to listen to some good things. And what does the Bible say about our thinking? Amen. There's some things we're supposed to think on. Control your thinking. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your thinking is important. And we need to learn to think on right things, pure things, holy things, clean things, things of good report. Think on positive things. So our thinking influences our attitude. A whole lot. Yes, it does. Our attitudes are affected by relationships. Have you ever seen somebody, especially children and young people, their attitude starts changing and you start looking at who they hang around with? You ever notice that? I've told you I tried that, remember? I'd been with my cousin for, maybe a week. And I noticed how, you know, he kind of smarted around off to his parents and they'd say something and then he'd do it again later on. And so my dad picked me up and we were headed home and I was driving, just didn't have my driver's license. I had my learner's permit, and I hit a bump in the road. And my dad said, "That was a little rough, wasn't it?" And I looked over, and I said, "You want to drive?" Woo! I wish I hadn't said that. You see, I'd been around my cousin a little while, and he'd said stuff like that, and nothing happened. But something happened when I said that. Amen. My dad was patriotic. He gave stripes, and I saw the stars. He knew how to do it. But you know what? He straightened out my attitude, and I got it right. I remembered real quick that this is the Grissom household, and when you're here, you don't talk like that. Amen. So he gave me a latitude adjustment, and fired that little rocket, and I got back on track. Amen. And that would happen periodically, and didn't take too many. I'm a quick learner. Amen. And so, but we are influenced by relationships, people that we're with. They influence us. And so you need to be very careful who you're around and allow to influence you. Amen. People that influence you to do things that are not right, then you need to get away from that influence, because it'll affect your attitude. Amen. Praise God. Even in church. I said, even in church. People start talking about the church, talking about how bad things are, talking about how, you know, the pastor's not doing right, the music's not right, nothing's right, don't teach nothing in Sunday school. Amen. Everything's bad and worse, and church is going down. Don't think we'll make it. Amen's worse than it's ever been. Never seen it like this. Get away from that. Get away from that. Amen. Even better than put your finger right in the face and say, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." Amen. And they probably won't be your friend anymore, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They weren't your friend to start with. Anybody that'll try to take you away from God and your church is not your friend. I said, anybody that'll try to take you away from your church and your God is not your friend. Amen. And so be careful the influence, because relationships affect your attitude. Amen. And our attitude affect our relationships. Amen. Now, your attitude affects how you feel about your wife and your husband. Amen. You need to keep a healthy attitude towards your mate. Amen. You love them. For some reason, you married them. And you need to keep remembering that good thing. Amen. What was it that you found so attractive about them? And you feed the good things. Amen. Hear me, and you hear me well. You be careful when you find somebody that wants to listen to your troubles and your mate won't listen. And so you keep talking to them, and you are heading for heartache and destruction. You're setting yourself up for failure. Amen. You get away from that. You get emotion attached to somebody before you get physically attached to somebody. Amen. You reject all of that. You stay true to your mate. Amen. And that's the one you selected. And that's the one you be faithful to. You promised. You made a promise before God that you'd be faithful until death do you part. So you be careful about these influences that begin to take you away. Keep a right attitude. Keep a right attitude. Amen. If you find yourself being flirtatious, man, amen, you need to check your attitude. The only one you need to flirt with is the one you're married to, period. Amen. You can be respectful to other women, but you don't flirt with them. Same thing with you, ma'am. Amen. I don't care how cute you are, you keep your eyes off another woman's husband. And don't you be flirting, influencing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Is that all right? Thank you. That's good, Brother Grissom. Thank you. I ought to shout about that just a little bit. Amen. Keep your attitude right. Amen. We're living in a world that does its best to destroy marriage and home. So we need to be careful about that. Amen. Choose your friends carefully. Be careful how you treat your boss. Be careful how you feel about your job. There's a whole lot of people who'd like to have it. I said there's a whole lot of people who'd like to have it. Amen. It bothers me when people get a bad attitude about their job. They start talking bad about their job, bad about the boss. And I was in a store one day, and a girl was griping about her job. And she said, "I don't need this job." And I thought, well, that attitude, you may not have it very long. Matter of fact, I don't think I've seen her there since. Amen. But you know, you need to, you need Joseph's attitude. Joseph didn't have an ideal job. I mean, he was in Potiphar's house. He was a slave. But he said, "Man, I'm going to be a good one." And it wasn't long. He's still a slave, but he was the best slave. Amen. He had everything under control. Well, then he got kicked out of that and went down to prison. And when he got to prison, he said the same thing. "Well, I'm in prison, but I might as well be the best one here." You see his attitude. His attitude. His attitude. God was with Joseph in prison because he could be. He let him be. Amen. He allowed him to influence his attitude and his spirit and his life and bless him. Amen. Your attitude controls how God blesses you. And so you people affect your relationship. Relations affect your relationship, your attitude. So be careful in those things. Our attitudes are both the cause and the result of right behavior. Attitudes will cause you to act right. Amen. I said they'll cause you to act right. You know what? If you get in the habit of acting right and doing right, it's not easy for you to do wrong. That's right. You just get to act. But you get, on the other hand, you get to where you always think about doing wrong. And it's hard to get out of that habit. Amen. Your attitude has a whole lot to do with that. Amen. Your attitude has a whole lot to do with that. Attitudes determine our destiny. I read a story earlier this year. Three athletic young men, they were professional athletes, took their boat out into the bay, far out into the ocean there in Florida. And for some reason, the boat capsized. There were three young men on that boat, very strong specimens. And one of them, just after a while, he just gave up. He said, "I just can't hold on anymore." And he let go. And he just sunk beneath the waves and allowed the sea to carry him away. Another one gave up in despair and just started swimming away from the boat. Just took off. Swam out into the ocean, never to be seen again. One young man just kept hanging onto the boat until help came. Rescue came. Somebody found him. Somebody saved him. Your attitude's important, folks, because it'll determine your destiny. People that make it are people that are going to have the right attitude. People that don't make it are going to be people that don't have a right attitude. Amen. If everything in church has to please you, and everybody in church has to please you, and everything in church has to please you, you see, it's wrong because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. And you get that attitude, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Amen. And you get that attitude right, then you can be blessed. But see, your attitude determines your destiny. It's important that we have a right attitude. Amen. A right attitude always acts right and reacts right. I said it acts right and reacts right. And you know, your reactions are things sometimes that you've got to have the right attitude or you'll react the wrong way. It comes up behind you, and they just sneak up, and it's not something you don't have time to act, you react. But if you have a right attitude, you'll react the right way. Have you ever reacted to something and said, "Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I reacted like that." My Christian testimony was on the line, and thank you, Lord, that you came through because you had a right attitude. If you'd had the wrong attitude, that wouldn't happen. I heard two parents, and they were giving their testimony, and the same story that many parents have heard through the years, and their daughter came in with a sad story and said, "Mom and Dad, I'm so sorry, but I'm pregnant. I'm married." And the first thing they said was, "Honey, We love you and we're going to help you get through this. And they were so thankful they had the right attitude. Instead of jumping on her with both feet and crushing her spirit. You see, once something's done, you got to work with what you got. You can't undo things. It has to do with your attitude. And your attitude's important. And it's important you have the right attitude so that you will react in the right way. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. The Bible said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Have you ever said this? Oh, I said that without thinking. Well, when you did that, you just spoke what was in your heart. Amen. That's right. When you speak, it's a state of the heart address. It tells you what's really in your heart. And so your attitude, something that you've got to guard, and we got to maintain a right attitude. Amen. Your attitude is always a choice and a responsibility. I'm going to say that again. Your attitude is a choice, and a responsibility. We choose our attitude. Yeah, we do. Amen. I read about a man, his name was Viktor Frankl. Mr. Frankl was a Jewish man, and he was in the concentration camps in World War II. They took everything from him. They stripped all of his clothes off of his body. They shaved his body. They took every possession that he had. He had nothing. And it dawned on him, there's one thing they cannot take away from me, and that's my attitude. He maintained a right and a positive attitude. They took everything else. He said, but you can't have that. That's mine. Amen. He maintained a right attitude. Amen. Now, where do attitudes come from? How do we get an attitude, or where does it come from? First of all, there are several items and ways that they come about. Everybody has a different temperament. And you're born with it. You're born with it. And don't you think it's interesting, if you have several children, how different they may be with the same parents, same environment, same everything, but they're so different. My mother had seven children. They saved the best till the last. I'll let you figure out who that one was. But everyone was different. Everyone was different. Everyone was different. All different temperaments. And that's what the ladies are going to be learning about. And that will be a tremendous and valuable study to you. And so there are five basic temperaments that people are born with, in my opinion. And that's a sanguine, or a choleric, or a person that is supine, a person that's melancholy, or a person that's, what am I? There you go, one of them. Yeah, phlegmatic. So there were different temperaments, and they're basic, and then they're mixtures of temperaments. And they're what make us up. Temperament's a little bit different than a personality. Personality, you learn what pleases people, and that's what you put on. That's what you learn to become. And so you can learn to become what pleases people, and that's your personality. But your temperament is basic. It never ever changes your whole life. Every temperament has strengths and weaknesses. You learn what your weaknesses are, and you learn how to strengthen them. You learn what your strengths are, and you learn how to use them. And so every temperament's important, and it affects your attitude. It affects your attitude. We'll talk about those perhaps another time. I think it would be a worthy study, but it would take some time to get into that. And another thing that affects your temperament or your attitude is environment. Your environment, the environment that you grow up in. And it affects your attitude. I heard about a man one time that took his little boy and stood him on the table, and he stepped back and he said, "Now jump to daddy." And when he jumped, the father stepped back and let him hit the floor. He said, "That'll teach you never to trust anybody." It's a bad environment. That's a toxic environment. Some people grow up in a bad environment, but you know what? Some of them still learn to get a good attitude. Amen. Now, you can only use that excuse so long. And then it doesn't work anymore. Amen. So environment, that's into. And then from about ages 1 to 6, more or less, word expression. That's when your parents primarily, the people take care of you, words of acceptance and affirmation or criticism. That affects your attitude. What people say about you. He's dumb as a box of rocks. So ugly he's got to sneak up on a glass of water to get a drink. You know, if people say stuff like that about you, you know, it's kind of bad. It affects your attitude in life. It affects who you are, doesn't it? It does. It affects you. Amen. That old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Amen. That's a big lie. Sounds nice, but it's not true. Amen. Words wound us. And so, but if you have positive words, and I'm teaching parents here tonight, and it's so important that you do that. We start doing that early in life, don't we? With words of, you know, what's the first thing we start saying? And before the little thing can do anything about it, we start saying, oh, he's got his daddy's eyes. He's got his mama's nose. He's got Uncle Bill's hands. And we start dissecting him and giving him and really and truly, he just looks like a little wrinkled up prune. That's all. Give him a little time. Goodness. Amen. It gets ironed out a little bit before you start all that stuff. Amen. Yeah. And so... But that's temperament begins and our attitude begins influenced by our environment. It's influenced by word expression, things that I hear people say about us. We're influenced by self-image. Self-image is how you see yourself. You know, there are people in our time, anorexia is a big problem. Bulimia, big problem. And you know what the problem is people still see themselves, their self-image. No, they doesn't matter what they see in the mirror, it's what they see themselves. And they can't accept the fact that they've been up and blown away. They're so skinny that it's unhealthy. But they can't see that because of a self-image, something they've got in their head. And that's just the way that it is. But we need to learn to accept ourselves. Let me tell you something, a verse that's helped me a lot. The Bible says the fat is the Lord's. Some of us have more to offer. God has more of some of us than He does of others. Amen. Well, you take your comfort where you can find it. But it's good to have a good self-image. Amen. Accept your features and who you are, the way God made you. And learn to be happy. Amen. Instead of always criticizing fault. I think one of the most dangerous things in the world is a camera. Second most dangerous thing is a mirror. Amen. And if it wasn't for those things, we'd all be a lot happier. And then another thing is fashion magazines. That's a scourge on the face of the earth. And see those little skinny, dried up things in there, and that's a picture of beauty. If you saw what they did to make them look like that, amen. If you got a computer, you know, and Photoshop, it's amazing what you can do with that. I mean, you can you talk about covering a multitude of sins. You can change everything. Yes, you can. And so those people are not real. So they're not real. But that's the image that people try to live up to today. Amen. Praise God. And so self-image, no wonder. But I like people that just have a good attitude. And they don't live their life by what they look like, and they don't talk about other people that don't look like they think they ought to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Take your head like this right here. God, forgive me for doing that. Have mercy on me. Help me, God. Amen. Just learn to love people because they're people. Amen. And they'll do a lot better with your encouragement than they will with your criticism. Amen. And so how you see yourself is important. Who influences you? Association with your peers. That's another thing that develops your attitude. Well, we talked about that, how with certain people. Amen. And you notice your attitude's different. And there are some people I just really don't like to be around much. I love everybody. Don't get me wrong. I do. But there's some people I don't like to be around because their attitude starts rubbing off on me. And I don't like their attitude. So you don't want to be around that very much. And then your physical appearance, that is how we look to others. Self-image is how you look to yourself. Other physical appearance is how we look to others. That has a lot to do with it. How others perceive you. Amen. You know, that starts early in life, doesn't it? If you survive kindergarten and elementary, junior high school, you're a miracle. Kids are very cruel. Amen. If you got big ears, you may get the nickname Dumbo. You know, they find all, every little flaw. They pick on it. Amen. That's hard. That's why at home you need to reinforce some things. Amen. And important that you do that. How others look at us, that affects our attitude. But hear me, don't allow other people to affect your attitude too much, no matter how they look at you. Amen. If you really don't like the way I look, then just don't look. That's about all I can say about it. Just don't look too close. Just don't worry about it. Amen. I'm doing best I can with what I got. Amen. You think I need some new clothes? Go buy me some. Praise the Lord. Be happy. Amen. Or give me the money, I'll go buy them. I'd rather you didn't, because you may get something I don't like. But amen. That's right. Praise God. Hey, is that right? Don't criticize somebody that doesn't have something. They don't have something. Maybe it's because they can't afford it. Amen. You go help them. Help them to find something. Amen. And so how people appear, that affects attitude. Your marriage and your family and your job, that's your security and your status. Affects your attitude. It does affect your attitude. When a man is unemployed, and it affects his attitude. It really does. Because it affects his self-worth and everything about him. When he can't provide, and he wants to provide, and he desires to provide, and he's in a tough situation. And it can alter your, it can affect your personality and your attitude. Amen. And so it affects things. And so your marriage, when things are going well in your marriage, your attitude's a lot better. Anybody ever notice that? Amen. It's about easier to have a good attitude when your marriage is going good and your children are behaving. And that's great. But you know, life's not always like that. Children don't always behave. Sometimes they severely disappoint. Sometimes they do things that we really hurt because of. And they don't turn out the way we'd hoped that they would. And affects attitude. All of these things affect our attitude. Amen. One of the main things that we can do to help, especially little ones, is in constructing a right attitude, is to look out for labels. Be very careful with the labels. There's a man by Adam Clark. Anybody ever heard of Adam Clark? Lived back in the late 1700s, and he was a man that his daddy took him to school, and he told the teacher, he said he won't do very well, and the teacher said, but he looks like a bright boy to me. And boy, that changed his whole attitude about learning. And you know what? He did do well. He wrote a commentary that preachers all over the country still use today. He was one of the greatest preachers of his time. Wrote a great book called The Christian Apologetics. And he was a great author. He was a great preacher. Amen. But his attitude all changed when somebody said, "Well, it looks like a bright boy to me." Amen. And so, you see, it matters how you present. You don't have to lie. Amen. But you can always find something positive to say about people. Amen. Your attitude affects so many things. So many things. It affects how you do in life. Amen. There was a man by the name of Johnny Weissmuller. He was Tarzan back in the 60s, I guess it was. And he was a swimmer, an Olympic swimmer. And in the 30s and late 30s and early 40s, and they said that there'll never be a greater swimmer than him, never. And he'll be the greatest swimmer of all time. You know what? He wasn't. 13-year-old girls out swim him today. As a matter of fact, the Olympics that he won, 1972, the times that he set, that was just to qualify for the race. So you don't ever get the attitude, well, everything's already been done. Amen. All the records have been set. Or they were set to be broken. Amen. Roger Bannister was the first to run a four-minute mile. They said, it'll never be done. He did it. To read his story, it's very inspiring. Amen. But he ran the first 4-minute mile, and more than 350 have broken that record now. And so, you see, just what was set yesterday doesn't mean that it's all over. Doesn't mean that somebody can't do better. Amen. Praise God. And so we shouldn't lock people into closets and limitations and say it can never be done now. It's never be done now. Have you ever seen an elephant at a circus or somewhere and he's tied to that little stake? Did you know that an elephant can, with his trunk, he can lift up a pickup truck? Then why in the world is he trained to that little stake? Because when an elephant is young, his trainer will tie him with a big chain to a huge piece of iron that's in the ground that cannot be pulled up. And he'll yank on it, and he'll pull on it, and he'll jerk on it, and he can't get loose, and that chain he can't break. And so after a while, he just accepts it. And then he goes through the rest of his life. You can tie a rope to him, and as long as it's attached to that stake, he won't even try to pull it up. He's already convinced he can't do it. He tried one time when he was little, and he couldn't do it. So if I couldn't do it then, I can't do it now. Amen. And some people get that attitude early in life. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't be this. I can't be that. And they develop that attitude, and they learn that lesson. And so they say, well, I tried and I couldn't do it. And so I'll never be able to do it. Amen. And their attitude is defeated early on. Amen. You need to not allow yourself to be there. Have a right attitude. That I think Scripture backs it up when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. You can do things. You can accomplish things. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen a trained flea, but they train fleas. They put fleas in a can or a bottle, and then they put a lid on it, and those fleas jump up and they keep banging their head on that lid, that top of that thing, and they bounce off, and after a while they learn that there's a ceiling on this thing. I can't jump as high as I used to. So they learn they can only jump so high. And then you can take the lid off of that and they won't jump out. They'll just jump up to nearly where the top is and they'll fall back down. They won't jump any higher. Because they've learned, well, there's a top. I can't get any higher than this. I got a headache last time I tried that. And they won't do it. They're programmed. They could. There's nothing to stop them. But they don't know that. Life sometimes, and the devil especially, tries to do that to us. You said, you remember what happened last time you tried to establish a prayer life? You remember what happened last time you tried to do something? You remember what last time you tried to witness to somebody? Fell flat on your face. You couldn't remember any scriptures. What a fool you made of yourself. Amen. And he'll beat you down. And he'll say, don't you try it again. Don't you dare. Remember what last time you hit the ceiling, you can't go that high. Amen. But you don't listen. Amen. You can. You can. Amen. I read a story years ago about an eaglet wound up in a chicken pen. And he grew up in a chicken pen. And he scratched like a chicken in a chicken pen. And chickens were clucking and he was screeching. And he felt so out of place and so embarrassed. Because he couldn't cluck right. He couldn't scratch right. He couldn't do anything right. He felt so out of place. And yet, it's all he knew. It's all he knew. He just knew that he looked different. He sounded different. And everything about him was different. But he didn't know anything else. Until one day, and when he got a little older, and he was in the chicken pen with all the other chickens, and suddenly heard a screech that sounded a lot like him. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw way up high in the heavens, he saw an eagle fly. And he screeched again. And then he screeched. And he said, that sounds like me. And then he started flapping his wings. And he found out, you know what? I can fly better than a chicken. And he kept flapping. And pretty soon he was above the top of the fence. And he was out of the fence. And he began to soar far, far away. And he realized finally, he said, you know what? I never was a chicken. All these years, I didn't know why I didn't fit in, but I never was a chicken. I've always been an eagle. Amen. You know what? You've always been a child of God. Amen. That's why you didn't fit in the world. I said, that's why you didn't fit in the world. Amen. One day, you tried your wings. Amen. And there was a call from on high that said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. There was something that called you out. Hallelujah. Something that called you to a higher place. Amen. And choosing the right attitude. Praise God. Did the Lord change your attitude when He saved you? Did He really? Did He make a difference in your life? Well, I've got some good advice for you. Keep the change.
Yeah.
Amen. He changed you. You keep the change. You don't go back to that old attitude. There's nothing worse in the world, I don't think, than a Christian with a bad attitude that won't change it. That won't change it. That won't change it. I've seen people with bad attitudes that were Christians and they would just say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, you can change your attitude. And it won't hurt you. It'll make you better. Amen. It'll make you better. Praise God. God cares about our attitude. Our attitude affects everything about us. It affects the world we live in. It affects the people we witness to. It affects the family that we live with. The job that we work on. The boss that we work for. The church that we attend. Our brothers and our sisters. It affects our relationship with God. It affects our worship. It affects our testimony. It affects everything about us. It's so important that we maintain the right attitude.